At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
that's what United are. They're a trust fund. They're also a content provider. Yeah, a sitcom and football club is not really one of them anymore.
Subscribe now to the OTB Football Podcast stream wherever you get your podcasts and download the OTB Sports app.
OTB AM
with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.
Some of these critics, these pundits.
I absolutely adore them, lads. I have unbelievable time for them, but they're a great bunch, but it's not acceptable.
They like to play the hard man when they're on it. It's not very pleasant when you're trying to manage a team. All you're looking for is a bit of civility and a bit of decency, but they just dismiss you like you know, you have nothing to do with the bloody occasion.
There you go.
Yeah, we're just doing it on the contenders for next year. So is this like a 2022 power rankings, or is it actually like a little bit of a
2023
power rankings? I think it's probably more the latter than the former. And I've just put together like the 12 contenders on this. So,
Who didn't make the list?
Meath and Cork.
Right, fair enough.
Maybe Meath will be a contender.
Well, Colm O'Rourke is already like, who is this fella? Who is he?
Yeah, good question. Nobody will be able to tell him the answer to that. And Cork as well, obviously, famously, who I've liked to talk up in the past. Maybe just they don't make the top 12. Like, I mean, it's not exactly, again, a very, very hot take. Very lukewarm stuff so far in the GAA for this morning. The power rankings, number 12, Roscommon. Number 11, Arclare. Number 10, Arkildare. Number 9, Monaghan. Number 8.
Does it change depending on who the manager is?
I've factored into. Yeah, it could change if they get a very, very good manager. Like if Jim Gavin comes out of retirement and like a zombie version of Jim Gavin's in charge of Monaghan, then straight to the top of the power rankings.
What if Jim went in as number 2 to Jao?
That would be interesting.
Wouldn't it?
If he ever comes back into football, that could be the role that he would.
He's done everything, right? And there'd be less pressure, less amount of time, none of the logistics. You're just showing up and imparting some wisdom.
Could Jim Gavin do the Pat Gilroy thing of going in with the hurlers? Just let everybody else do the hurling coaching and he's the mastermind behind it all?
Maybe.
That's
what you'd be doing if you were the Dublin County Board, wouldn't you?
Or, yeah. Or, like, I mean, we were talking with Davey earlier. Like, I know he'd been loosely linked with Dublin. I don't think there was any much substance to it, but that could have been a good shout either. The Dublin Hurlers, basically, that's the next attractive gig. Where were we? Donegal are in at number 8.
Does that depend on who they get?
It does. Like, Donegal is an interesting one where they've had so much disappointment over the last 10 years, really. And I wonder, does this year sting as much as any of the others? Like, so 2020 obviously was bad when they lost to Cavan and COVID, but I still think no matter what would have happened, I think they get beaten by Dublin anyway.
Yeah, but they put up a good game.
This year, though.
And that was the Dublin team, as we now know, that was on the wane, that was like.
It still
on
beats
the
Donegal.
Fumes.
It still beats Donegal.
I think they do. I think they do beat Donegal, but they get a much better game than they did against Cavan.
My point is that this year, Donegal, they get the extra time against Derry. They don't have. A lot of people have said they didn't have like the balls to go for it late on. Like, I mean, they had the ball in possession. They had the ball in their hands and didn't
minutes.
Get one last shot off.
Yeah,
in normal time, wasn't it?
Which so was the criticism last year of Derry.
Of Derry, yeah. So they should basically. I think Donegal people will think that they had every opportunity to win that game.
And everybody was fit.
Everybody was fit.
That was the big thing. Have we ever seen McBrearty and Murphy playing together and McHugh and all these players? And this year that we did, we saw what they were capable of, and then.
And their path to Sam was Clare, Galway, Kerry, which I think is actually an easier path than what 2020 would have been. Beat the Dubs, I don't think they do. So I think this year could have actually been the one that stung the most for Donegal, and I don't think there is a team in football at the moment that has such a chasm between its floor and its ceiling. And unfortunately, they've been closer to their floor than their ceiling too often. So this is a team at number 8 in these rankings who could be looking up at Kerry and thinking,
we're not that far.
We could knock them off their perch if we got them in a knockout game next year. And I like it. Maybe seems ridiculous to say that in the context of this year, but that's the talent that they have.
What did you think of Paddy Talley's point about this? Is, I don't know if you've all heard the Football Pod, but Paddy Talley, brilliant interview with Tommy, James and Paddy on the Football Pod this week about his own career, and also just kind of really looking forward to next year where everybody is on the same rota of games once they get through the provincial championships. That at that point there's no advantage and there's no disadvantage. He thinks it's actually better for Kerry to have more regular games. I also would be concerned about, it's like, oh, wait till we see. But actually they're going to benefit from the games because they need those games, and no more undercooked.
Also as well, Kerry, that's where the Munster champion, being in the Munster championship, will really benefit them, because they'll get their one seed. They'll be more likely to get their one seed than Donegal will, for example, or somebody in Connacht. Kerry and Dublin will probably be number one seeds, but then on top of that they get the same games in the All-Ireland series as the Ulster and Connacht team, so it's a win-win for Kerry and Dublin, I think, next year, that new system. Donegal, they got pips at the post really by Mayo at the end in 2019, so it's hard to know how that'll benefit them. And Mayo could be a team that will enjoy that, and they're in at number 7 in these power rankings. I think Mayo could do well in that new system next year. I've put Tyrone in at number 6, so I think this is probably where these are not 2022 power rankings, because I don't think Tyrone could possibly claim to be a top 6 team on the evidence of this year's championship, but I don't think you can possibly claim that it can be that bad again next year. Now the thing is the reason that they were so bad the people that walked away from the panel, and there's no reason to suggest that many of them are going to come back next year, or is the reason they were so bad is because they went on holidays late and it's hard to do back-to-back All-Irelands. So I think it's a bit of both, but I think the second factor is a factor.
I think it's more likely the hangover than definitely the strength and depth wasn't there this year that they had in previous years, but I suspect that Tyrone Club football is good enough that they'll be able to find a bunch of young players who will come in absolutely mad keen to influence it. Now, whether or not the team who won the All-Ireland still has the same desire, that's the question that they have to answer over the course of the winter, to do the hard training and to show up and be like as emotionally invested in winning an All-Ireland now that they've done it. If they can get that back, then I actually think a lot of people come out of that game going, they're a shit team, aren't they? They don't really deserve to win the All-Ireland. I disagreed. They beat a Kerry team who I think are a really good Kerry team in the semi-final, and they just handled their business.
I agree with that, actually. I think Tyrone, I was not saying that afterwards. I thought Tyrone were a very, very good team.
Really well coached, beautiful footballers, really smart on the ball, heads up, athletic, incredible bench. That was definitely something that was noticeable. So I'm not writing Tyrone off at all.
The question for them next year is, does Rory Canavan start, and does he come straight into proceedings as a superstar forward in the way that some former under-20s have done pretty much straight away? He looks like he might be able to. He looks like maybe he's maybe naturally just a little bit bigger than Dara. Not as tall, but just maybe early in his career able to hold off a shoulder maybe a bit more. I don't know. I've only kind of seen him play for his county at underage level this year.
Which was pretty good.
It was absolutely sensational. So if he comes in and he is ready, that's a caveat. If he is ready next year to be a starter in that team, then I think that transforms our season, and we can speculate about what managers might come in, but we know that this guy will come through for Tyrone next year.
Yeah, and obviously it's the under 20 age group. If it was an under 21 group,
you'd be more certain.
Definitely. But even just to get more of those players through. But all of a sudden, those players are now going to training.
And he was there this year at the very end, so he's got a sample of it.
But his teammates as well are bulking up the numbers, and that's where their strength and depth is going to come from. They might not all be ready for it, but they might be ready for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're certainly ready for training.
And we've seen what the impact substitutions did for Tyrone in winning that All-Ireland last year as well. I've kept Derry ahead of them at number 5. Obviously, they hammered them this year. I'm not sure if that's going to be relevant going into next year. But I'm not sure if I'd subscribe to the theory that this is going to be a one-and-done year for Derry. I'm not sure they're going to win back-to-back Ulsters. But I still think it doesn't matter. I think that everything they'll have taken from this year will have been huge, and it still feels that they were ahead of schedule this year as well. I think I've just stolen one of Paddy Andrews' lines. I think he said that multiple times in the Football Pod, that winning an Ulster was probably ahead of schedule for them this year.
I'm not sure. I think that we would have thought much higher of them if they'd had backdoor for the last 2 years. They would have had more games to show us exactly what they were, and they'd be further along in terms of their attacking structure. I think that in Rory Gallagher's head, when he sat down the first day he got the job, he was like, I'm going to win Ulster within 3 years, and then they've done it. Mm-hmm. I think that they think they're on schedule. But I think that they were hamstrung by the lack of games over the COVID period. I also think that there's development to come from them. I hate comparing them with Donegal, but it's such an obvious thing. the speed at which they got there. Donegal got there a bit quicker. Donegal had better forwards at the time, but we'll see. I again would be very confident. I actually think they should be ahead of Armagh.
Yeah, so Armagh are in fourth, and like Armagh and how close they came to Galway, I guess, is probably informing this a good bit. But also the thing about Derry, and maybe the ahead of schedule take, is probably based on the fact that they're going to be playing Division 2 football again next year, whereas Armagh are a bona fide Division 1 team at this point, and they've established themselves up there, and they're... them getting close to an All-Ireland semi-final this year made sense with everything we saw in the spring, whereas it felt like Derry, not sure that they overachieved, but it definitely kind of was a bit more of a surprise. So I would be backing Armagh maybe to just go that bit further than Derry next year, but I wouldn't be surprised if I was completely wrong on that, and Armagh will feel they could have got to an All-Ireland semi-final, and like on their side of things, they probably might have felt they could have beaten Derry then. Like the thing is, Galway Derry, there was only 4 points between them at the end. Like I kind of have it in my head that it was this complete blowout, and it maybe felt like that at times, but was it four in the end? Maybe it was five, but it wasn't anything major, and I think that it's not terminal when you look at the gap between those teams next year, which brings us on to team number three, which is Galway. The Dubs are in at number two, and then Kerry in at number one. I'm not sure what you think, but like, would most people have Galway as number two just because they were there in the All-Ireland, or do we think Dublin actually would have their number?
I don't know. I think so much depends on who is playing for Dublin and who is managing Dublin. I think I'd be very surprised if Paddy Joyce walked away, right? It hasn't been confirmed. I haven't seen it confirmed that he's staying, but I think I'd be really, really shocked if that was to happen. But you wouldn't be shocked if Desi was to walk away at this stage, and you wouldn't be shocked if he came back either.
Yeah, no, you wouldn't be. And like, I guess maybe it kind of feels like he's been there longer than Joyce, even though he hasn't. And like, maybe the fact that he's got over the line in All-Ireland, and I don't know, like, there's so much talk around Dublin next year as well with regards to some of the players that could come back into the side. So
who, like, you talk Mannion? I don't think Mannion's coming back.
You don't think he's coming back?
Well, he's never made the sounds of, like, he wants to go back. He's made the sounds of a man who's enjoying his post-intercounty career life.
Yeah, okay, fair. But Con O'Callaghan will, let's hope, be back.
I hope so, but Con's fitness is never guaranteed. Like, because he's such a highly tuned athlete, you get injuries, you know?
Well, let me just put it this way then. Dublin being at number two is based on the fact that Dublin's forward line will be better next year than the one that played against Kerry. And if it's not, if it's the same forward line that played against Kerry, you might make a case that Galway could be ahead of them. Like, that's how pivotal those positions are for them. Like, I don't think Dublin's defence was actually outstanding at times in that All-Ireland semi-final. Like, James McCarthy with one of his best games, and obviously there were some brilliant man-marking jobs done in that full back line. So it's just that scoring forward from open play that Dublin need to nail down next year. And unfortunately, when you've got a generational talent who's been on the sidelines for so long, their entire possibility of success is going to distill down to Con O'Callaghan again next year. It's going to be deja vu.
All right. That is the final episode of the Power Rankings.
I absolutely adore them, lads. I have unbelievable time for them, but they're a great bunch, but it's not acceptable.
OTB AM
with Gillette. Get into your flow with the new Gillette Labs Razor with exfoliating bar.